Culture. I'm Anthony Donovan.
Durwood Murray.
Amy Meredith.
And Joe Reese.
And for the next hour or so, we'll be talking your face off about all things pop culture related. Now, we deal with a lot of funny things on the show. And as we mentioned last week, we'd been gone for a couple of years. And a lot can happen in the pop culture landscape in a very short time. And we've experienced a lot of cultural shift over the last couple of years. And a lot of it's been good, but there's also been some things that have been not so good. And we've been faced with a lot of examples of celebrities or people in Hollywood or in places of influence who have done some very bad things. And these very bad things have come to the surface.
Very bad things.
Very bad things. And it changes the way you look at a lot. And sometimes someone that you look up to or that you admire, you find out that they're kind of garbage people, and not in the good way, not like sanitation workers, like actual heaps of garbage disguised as people. And that's what this episode is about. What happens when our heroes fall from grace?
Well, because we're all huge pop culture fans.
Right.
Like, we all have those people that we look up to in the pop culture world. Yes?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why we're here.
And it sucks when you find out that they are horrible people.
Yep.
But one of the points we want to talk about, because I don't want to get too much into, like, the details of things of, like...
We all know the details.
Right. What I would like for us to, like, center this on is, where is the line where you say, I just can't anymore with this person?
Yeah.
That's I think, where we want to go with mm-hmm. this.
Hmm.
Because Anthony has what he calls the R. Kelly rule.
Right.
Explain the R. Kelly rule.
Well, for me, because we've seen many examples of sometimes people... They do bad things, but their career is unaffected by it for one reason or another. Mm-hmm. Somebody can do something absolutely horrible, and they're allowed to continue going on and being successful and being supported and getting rich. And then we have other people who, you know, they do one thing wrong, and that is literally the end of their life as we know it.
Well, one lapse moment of judgment and...
Right.
Exactly.
Well, because with R. Kelly, I looked at this. He was alleged sex tape with a minor.
It wasn't alleged. It's a thing that exists.
He was indicted on 21 counts of child porn, pled not guilty, went to trial, and was cleared. But then I also totally forgot about the whole thing with Aaliyah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That he was married to a 15-year-old.
When he was like 27, was it?
It doesn't give his age when I was looking up, but this was in 1994.
He was an adult.
He was an adult, and that's all that counts.
And she had
an adult.
She had a hit song called Age Ain't None But a Number.
Yeah.
But well, go ahead with the R. Kelly rule.
For me, and this is something that speaks to me personally, the hypocrisy of it really bothers me, is that you can take someone like R. Kelly, who was literally filmed having sex with an underage girl, married a minor. This is on public record. This is not hearsay. This is not rumors. This is fact. And his career has largely been unaffected by it. That man is still selling records. Michael Jackson was rumored to have molested a kid and was never charged with anything, was never convicted of anything, and the man...
Well, he was charged.
But he was never convicted.
No.
And, you know, all it took was the rumor in the beginning, and that was it. That was the end of his career. And the reason that is because R. Kelly's crime is considered forgivable by our culture because it was committed against a woman. Michael Jackson's allegations were against a boy. So you've got, when it's a guy... basically molesting a girl, he's a pervert. But if you've got a guy who is thought of as molesting a boy and it's gay, that's a predator.
Yes.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, also, too, Michael Jackson, just to put his out there, because I'm telling you, the research on this that I did for this...
Depressing.
...was depressing as hell.
Please tell me you used someone else's computer because...
Oh, my God. I didn't. I used my work computer.
I'm afraid of the ads you're going to be getting now on...
Yeah, I totally used my work computer.
I'm looking on Facebook and... Oh!
A whole Roman Polanski film set on Blu-ray.
Gross. And I told Anthony when I got home one night, I was like, I did all this research today, and I'm just telling you right now, men suck. And I was like,
you're not wrong. Yep.
No,
why
no.
do men suck so much? Anyway, Michael Jackson was indicted on 4 counts of molesting a minor, 4 counts of intoxicating a minor in order to molest him. I don't know what the difference there is. 1 count of attempted child molestation and 1 count of conspiring to hold the boy and his family captive. I love that silence.
Well,
and then for some reason I typed right underneath that, don't forget baby dangling.
Who could push Michael Jackson down and escape?
Well, and I think other than the and I do agree that, you know, there's definitely that sort of aspect of whether it is a quote unquote heterosexual crime or not. But then I think part of the fact is too, for the most part, R. Kelly came off as normal, whereas Michael had kind of gone off the rails a little bit, it seemed. And so there was that aspect. Well, and then I think also now looking at it derailed his career at the time. But one thing I've noticed a lot when it comes to people that have committed infractions, death seems to erase all previous because there's no mention of that at all anymore with Michael. Hear it like he's revered, and they did an episode on Glee with him, about him.
Forget your sins. Like, after Prince died, people completely forgot about Under the Cherry Moon.
Yeah, I think there's some, I think there's that, there's a big part of that. Also, too, everybody always thought that Michael Jackson was a little off anyway. So when you heard, you were like, maybe. I don't want to talk about it, though, because he's Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
But with R. Kelly, it was kind of a joke, like, because the thing where, like, he peed on a girl. Everybody's like, that's gross. Like, it's not taken as seriously, I think.
Right. And again, this has been filmed.
Right.
Like, this for a fact happened. There is no gray area.
Right.
Here's a question I have for you in the comparison between R. Kelly and Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. How much of this do you think is cultural? And by that, I mean, Michael Jackson was a pop star of the largest magnitude there ever was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
who was for everyone. Mm-hmm. His appeal was of everyone. R. Kelly is a black superstar.
Okay.
R. Kelly is of the black community. How much do you think that has to do with the fact how they are then received after their alleged incidences? Well, I shouldn't say alleged, because R. Kelly was filmed.
Right.
Right? But R. Kelly was, and for those who don't know, I am black. R. Kelly was one of ours. How much of this was us protecting ours? And how much of it was Michael Jackson was one of theirs, and he had his fall from grace because they didn't catch him?
Well, here's the thing. Michael Jackson never stopped being an African-American man. Whether or not the community decided to continually claim him, not for me to say.
And that's more what I'm referring to, I think.
And, well, you know, because I think the bigger problem that I have with it is not necessarily how it came off afterwards, is the seriousness of the infractions in comparison.
I hear you. I'm not disputing that.
That's what I have the biggest problem with.
Well, it's also because I also had on my list, or in my research, I wouldn't say a list, but in all of my research, Chris Brown, who was charged with felony assault and was found guilty, got 5 years probation and 1,400 hours of, I loved the way they put this in there, in quotes, labor-oriented service.
So he taught Lamaze classes?
I don't know. So, because then you have Chris Brown, who... Is he treated like, here's my thing, which one of them got it the worst in the public eye, Chris Brown or R. Kelly?
It depends on how you look at it. Chris Brown has a lot of shit heaped on him, and rightfully so. Chris Brown, I'm looking at you. R. Kelly, I think, like Anthony said, to me seems very largely unaffected.
Yeah,
he gets jokes by late night comedians,
right?
That's about it. Chris Brown still has throngs of screaming fans who are mostly young girls. However, he gets it rough from mostly everybody else.
And he should.
And yes, absolutely he should. R. Kelly, though, seems to be... I don't know if he's lost fans, honestly. I really don't think he's lost fans.
Do you think it's the difference between the fact that R. Kelly's is just... Because here's the thing with R. Kelly, is I don't think anyone is saying that it was not consensual, what he did.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And between, like, just having freaky sex on, you know, a sex tape and actually hitting someone, maybe that's the difference.
All right. One might argue that when someone is a minor,
They can't consent.
They can't consent.
In my research, her parents gave consent.
What?
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What?
I know.
Still not okay.
No, not okay.
Actually, kind of even more not okay.
Yeah, that's just...
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
I do not want to go to Thanksgiving dinner with that family. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Oh. I also get peed on, too.
Oh, yeah. Jesus. Okay, I don't... I'm at a loss.
Right. I know.
Well, and I mean, it's funny because, you know, you think about... bring up Chris Brown, but I think of kind of another kind of similar situation. Well, before all our times, you know, you look at Ike and Tina.
Right.
Right.
And that is basically, I mean, I remember when Ike died, I was like revering him.
And he was a horrible person.
And it became, I think to like things like Liar Liar, when he's like, hit me again, I put some more stank on, you know, like it's a joke.
Yeah. Right.
Where it's like, dude, he was a horrible person. So it's like, he was very talented, but...
Very important to rock and roll.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, again, garbage human.
But, so here comes back to the question. At what point do you say, you know what, I can't support this anymore? I don't want to listen to the music. Because a big one, I'm sure, for Joe and myself was Roman Polanski.
Mm-hmm.
Rosemary's Baby is one of my... was one of my favorite horror movies of all time.
Chinatown was one of my absolute favorite movies.
I absolutely agree that he's a brilliant filmmaker, but I have not seen his latest films. I can't do it.
The last one I saw was Carnage in 11, so it's been of his new ones. Right. I mean, I probably saw Chinatown in the last like year and a half, and I own it, but I don't know if I can ever see it. And it's Polanski's one of the weird things because all that shit happened before I was born.
Right.
And so it's not like this new thing. And I think where me in this group as the white straight male, you know, most of this stuff is stuff that I never experienced.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost easier for me in my head to make excuses. But also thinking back to the late 90s, early 2000s, really when I started getting into film and classics and all sorts of stuff, was also the very infancy of the internet. And so there was tons of shit going around that you didn't necessarily know the truth.
Right.
I remember young, you know, you heard stuff about what happened. And I remember hearing rumors at the time. I was like, oh, well, he actually is married to, or like, you know, had a relationship in later years to the person. And it wasn't that big of a, you know, she was almost 18.
Right.
And so all this stuff, I'm like, oh, okay. And then, you know, watch The Pianist and all that fun stuff. And, you know, which The Pianist and fun stuff has never been used in the same sentence before. But then, you know, as years went on, and I was just like, this everything I, you know, I wanted to believe stuff, and I just can't anymore.
Yeah, I can't get past it. I can't get past.
And I think that's what it's about is – How far can you get into the art without whatever it is that they've done weighing too heavily on you?
Right.
Right. So I think about R. Kelly and the music he makes, I am actually a very big fan of. And I listen to the remix to Ignition and I love that song. However, sometime around verse 3, I remember that he was filmed being on a girl who was a minor. And I think to myself, that's in my head while I'm listening to the song.
Right.
And so there is this art that I love, and then there's this person who I find reprehensible.
Mm-hmm.
And we have both of those going on at the same time. I do think it's okay for both of those to go on at the same time. I think it's essential for both of those to go on at the same time. I used to have the idea of separating an artist from their art.
Okay.
Now I'm more of the mind of, no, it all needs to be acknowledged and it all needs to be there together. Where I think a person can be an amazing artist but also a garbage human being at the same time. I can listen to that song usually one time all the way through and I'm okay. I try and listen to another one of his tracks and I'm still thinking about what he did and I'm done and I gotta tap out. Somebody who I'm sure we're gonna mention, Bill Cosby.
Yep.
The Cosby Show was my favorite sitcom of all time until I heard about what he did. I cannot go back and watch that show now. I used to be able to.
I haven't been able to either.
That show could just play in the background all day for me, and I would enjoy it and say every word along with it. I can't watch that show without thinking about what he did and how reprehensible that I find it. And so that's my line for me.
Well,
where I just can't with him anymore.
We're such fans of The Cosby Show. Me and Anthony Durwood, mm-hmm. we're on the World Series of Pop Culture, and our team name comes from The Cosby Show.
Jamming
on the One from one of our favorite episodes. And I can't tell you, there are still times where, like, Anthony and I will, like, just quote a show to each other. And mm-hmm. there's a moment where it's like, oh, yay. And then you're like, oh. It's like it just hits you all over again.
My fantasy football team used to be called the Gordon Gartrells. And I had to change. I couldn't in good conscience just have that as my fantasy football team's name.
And I think another thing with, like, speaking of Cosby and then going back to Polanski and just mm-hmm. other people, where sometimes you think, oh, like, also one of my excuses with being able to watch Chinatown was, oh, it happened before this incident happened.
Right.
It's like, but was he any less of a garbage human being beforehand? Right. And then it's like, was this the first time something like this happened?
Or was it the first time it got caught?
Yeah, just like with Cosby, you're like, oh, like, if he had gone and just done this recently in the last decade, right. it's like, oh, I can't watch the Cosby Mysteries or whatever. Okay.
I can never watch Ghost Dad again.
Yeah, but I can't watch Leonard Part 6. But then, you know, you think, no, but this had been happening his entire career. Right. So as the Cosby.
That came about, that broke my heart.
Oh.
Because Bill Cosby is one of the people that made me want to do comedy.
Yep.
From the time I was a small child. And, you know, the first story broke and we were just like, oh, God. Oh, that's terrible. Could you imagine? And then just story after story after story.
Well, Bill Cosby,
and they all lined up.
Yeah.
Bill Cosby himself was always, like, if you ask me what my favorite, like, comedy, like, concerts mm-hmm. were, Bill mm-hmm. Cosby himself would have been my number one every single time.
Oh, yeah.
Because no matter how many times I've watched it, laugh my ass off every single
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you something funny, Anthony. In going back, I was because I love us so very much. I went back and was, like, re-listening to some of our earlier podcasts. And we were it was one of the ones where we were talking about things through the decades. And we were talking about, and we'll probably talk about the incident again tonight, about Pee-wee Herman getting arrested for masturbating in a theater. And you, it was so great because we were talking about that. And you're mm-hmm. like, you know what's funny? The first person to come to his defense
publicly
was Bill Cosby. And we were all like, that's weird.
Not so weird now, is it?
Everybody back off of this guy who likes to do weird sexual things.
Well, and that brings back,
in a place where you do weird sexual things.
That brings up a very interesting point because I think that line is different for everybody. I think it's up to each of us to make up our minds when we can no longer support somebody. Because I'm sure there were people who were fans of Pee-wee Herman who couldn't hang after that conviction.
How? Mm. How could you not, for God's sakes?
I had no problem with it, but I guarantee you there were people that couldn't hang with him after that.
Yeah, I think part of it too is probably dependent on, because all his stick at the time was towards kids.
Yeah.
Even though it all came out of the Groundlings and all that, and so it was not kid oriented to begin with.
No.
Yeah.
But I think when people associated, like, well, he was doing this kid show, and now this happened.
Right. His shtick was towards kids, but his stick was not towards kids.
Right.
Exactly. He got busted in a place where people go to do that sort of thing. He just got...
You've heard.
Yeah.
I've heard. I will tell you that he pleaded no contest and was fined $135.
Yeah.
Which...
Worth it.
That's one fewer puppet.
And then I forget what... I think it was an award show or something like that. Like, might have been MTV Awards or something. He came out as people. He was like, heard a good joke lately?
Uh-huh. Legendary.
But that's the thing. Like, I don't think he fell from grace because, you know, but...
Well, he's had a
resurgence.
To
some people, he might have.
He might have. But here's the thing. Even now, you associate with him immediately mm-hmm. masturbating in a theater.
Yeah.
Like, that will always be attached to his name, unfortunately. Because I actually like Pee-wee, but I think that will...
I like masturbating in theaters, so it all works.
But I thought it was funny when I was re-listening, you were like, it's the weirdest thing. Bill Cosby was the first person to come to his defense.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. Now, not so much with the weird.
Gross.
Yeah. But also with Roman Polanski, someone who, and it's not a big deal for me because I was never a fan to begin with, but I will not go see Woody Allen movies.
Especially early Woody Allen, really, I mean, along with Woody Allen, Monty Python and a lot of early Saturday Night Live and all that really shaped a lot of my humor.
Yeah.
Blue Jasmine was the last Woody Allen I ever saw. Hmm. And that was in 2013. And I own a good collection on like Bananas and Everything You Want to Know About Sex Women, Too Afraid to Ask, Annie Hall, all those movies. I love those movies. Can't do it. And it's one of those things. And again, that was one of those things that it was around. It was just kind of like, oh, he married his stepdaughter.
That's gross.
And it's gross. Like, that's creepy. But it's like, well, she's 19. And, you know, it just takes
and
really.
And he's like 1,000 years old.
And it's like, takes really looking at it and being like, did it just start when she was 19?
Right.
And now Rowan Farrow coming out with all this. And it's just like, and it was just one of those things. I was like, I'm going to distance. And you get into this weird thing because I always try to be very completist when it comes to Oscars. So it's Blue Jasmine because it was also Cate Blanchett and an amazing performance. And so I'm like, but then after I'm like, I can't anymore. And it just finally got to that point with me with Woody Allen. It's just.
And it's going to be rough because I put that hard line on Woody Allen. I put a hard line on Roman Polanski because I was a Roman Polanski fan. So I put a hard line on that. That one was hard for me. Bill Cosby, that one broke my heart. That was really hard. But then you move into Harvey Weinstein, who had his disgusting, pudgy little fingers in just like every movie, TV show. I can't draw a line.
Well, it's
on
hard,
him,
it's hard with him. It's hard. Yeah, it's definitely hard with like a producer. Right. Where, you know, you kind of have almost three camps, especially when it comes to film and television. You have like three camps almost. You have your producer side that they kind of oversee stuff, but they don't really have much to do with the creative or what you see. So you might not even realize a lot of times it is them there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then you have the creatives. So your writers, directors, where it's like it's very much everything they do. Your Polanski, your Woody Allen. Your Bill Cosby. Then you have, and they oftentimes do show up, so you see.
Yeah.
And then the weird thing for me is when you get to like almost just the on-screen personas that have nothing to do with creative, but it's just you see them.
Yeah.
And it's like,
Yeah, and it goes back to what I was saying before. I mean, with Weinstein, as horrible of a person as he is, I can think about him a lot less.
Yeah.
When I'm watching the things that he was a part of, and so then it comes back to. I mean, I have to think about the fact that he was producer of my favorite movie of all time, which is Pulp Fiction.
Right.
And sometimes that's easy to forget. Sometimes it's not so easy to forget. And so it's kind of a back and forth kind of thing.
He gave Quentin Tarantino his career.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so many of the indie voices of the 90s who have now gone on to influence so many other filmmakers and also make amazing film, he brought them into the
world. And it's not just film, it's also TV, because like I was watching some past episodes of Project Runway. He was a producer on Project Runway.
Well, in the case of Harvey, I think that's really unique because you get to something that a lot of people who are not in the entertainment industry have a hard time understanding. The desperation and the fine lines you need to walk in order to build your career in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people knew Harvey Weinstein was a fucking trash human, and either they didn't say anything, they looked the other way, because you don't go up against somebody like a Harvey Weinstein, especially if you're a woman who's been victimized by this, because the first thing is, who's gonna believe you?
Right.
And all the other people who were complacent, you know, you get into that whole thing because it's like people are so afraid of losing their careers.
Mm-hmm. Or not getting one to begin with.
Or not getting one to start
with. And especially with Weinstein, you hear so many stories where, you know, it happened to a fairly famous woman.
Right.
And they tell one of their good male friends who's like also pretty powerful. And in the end, it's like they don't necessarily come forward, but it's like they're like, you never go near her. You know, it becomes
that. And
the
shit goes
all
the way to the top because Selma Hayek was a fucking bona fide movie star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the time what happened with her, by the way, Google that fucking horror show.
Yeah.
With
like it's every single fucking one of the, like it's one of those things like I don't want to know. Click.
Yeah. No, that was a rough read. Yeah. Reading her her story about that, but...
Oh, with Frida.
Yeah, and it's just, it's crazy to think how
in this day and age, got. Yeah, in this day and age that stuff still happens.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes. Because yeah. I was doing my research, again, y'all don't know what I do for you guys doing this research, because it was gross. You. There was so much gross. I was like, where did... How, like, what was the earliest one I could find? Like, what was, like, the earliest, like, Hollywood sex scandal I could find? And the first one I found was from 1921 with Roscoe Fatty Arbuckle.
Oh, jeez.
And apparently he...
showed someone as fatty?
Yeah. Raped an actress at a party. And she died.
Holy shit!
Yeah, she died a week later. He was charged with manslaughter, and after three trials, was cleared. He lost his career, but he was still heckled on the streets. So his career went like downhill.
Yeah, I heard. He actually, not like real consequences.
Right.
Like he didn't go to jail, but he like so, career wise.
So 1921
was you, Fatty Arbuckle.
That's how long. This whole system has been put into place.
And when you think about, I mean, with Weinstein, and then like when it came out about Kevin Spacey, and
another one that broke my heart.
But then you start hearing the stories, and then people start saying, "Well, it was a known secret," and it's like, how many fucking known secrets are there out there?
A lot. And there's a couple.
And I tried Googling known secrets, and like this needs to be a band-aid. I mean, it's like it just needs to all come. Just get all these fuckers out of.
There's a couple more that we're going to be hearing about, because the Kevin Spacey thing, I had been hearing about that for years, and I'm not even that well connected to Hollywood. But he, by far, had the worst response I've ever heard.
Oh, by the way, I'm gay.
Yeah.
No, he was just like, okay, so I know I took a 14-year-old Anthony Rapp up to my bed, got naked, and started kissing him. But hey, I'm gay, so we're good. Oh, we're okay. Good game, everybody. Like, what?
Well, and this is another reason why I wanted to do this topic, because the four of us come... We get looked upon differently, and we look at the world differently, because Anthony is... straight or gay or white or like that's what I'm saying.
We've been friends for 23 years.
You know what I mean? Like, I am a straight woman, so I look at when I heard about the Harvey Weinstein stuff, I went, yeah, same shit, different day.
Yeah.
Like I was so nonplussed about it.
I'll give you a perfect example. Amy and I used to produce a TV show for many years, and we experienced this all the time because she was the director and I was the show creator, and we were on the set arguing with a male cast member, and I guess he asked her something he could do, and she said no, and in the same breath looked at me and went, can I do it? And I said, your director just told you no. And on set, this actor turned around and said, well, I guess we know who wears the pants in this outfit. I'm like, yeah, the fucking director does. And I was so shocked by it, and she was just like, yeah, welcome to being a woman.
Yeah. And with Joe, who is a dad... You have kids. You're a straight white male. Durwood is black. You know, also
that's
straight.
All there is
to
them.
No, it's not. But
no,
you know what
I
mean? Because all of us come from we are all looked upon differently,
yes.
And we all look at the world differently. Because, like I said, when the Me Too movement started, Anthony was so upset.
I think on behalf of like some of us men who aren't scum, I think we were all kind of shocked.
Yep. I wasn't shocked.
I wasn't. I was like, I'm shocked that this hasn't come out sooner. And I felt so bad for you.
Yeah.
I really did, because you took it much harder than I did.
Yeah, I did. And it was upsetting, because, you know, my first instinct is, you know, and it's probably one of my worst male instincts, is that I want to fight anyone who wrongs my friends. So I wanted to beat up every dude I came across for a while, because... Every day, another one of my friends, these wonderful, beautiful, talented, valuable people who I just admire and love so much, were just reduced to nothing by some fucking asshole some point in their life.
I think what actually was more, during that whole thing, was more shocking to me is, I think, how many women I knew were willing just to flat out say it.
Right.
Because all I know... With a lot of them, it brings back a lot of painful memories. Mm, so
of
having
course.
To do that, I was shocked at a lot because I'm like, that takes a lot.
And the solidarity helped. I can only
imagine. I can't even imagine. Like,
yeah. No, and I keep mine very close to the vest. It's my issues. Well, not issues. It's my experiences. But I was telling Anthony, and this is a little personal, but I'll go ahead. When I grew up, it's just between us. In the dance world, we had a dance teacher who would come in. It was an older guy. He would come in, and when I was little, and he was very powerful, and like he could get you scholarships. He could get you scholarships. He could do things and help you out. I remember the first time he came to the studio, one of the older girls, and I was probably about 10 or 11, the older dancers who were about 15, 16 years old, pulled us aside and said, hey, so-and-so's coming in this weekend. He's really a lot of fun. Just make sure you're not in the room along with him. Like, make sure Christy's with you, or make sure one of your friends is always with you. Have a buddy, you know? Just watch out for yourselves.
Wait a minute. I want to make sure I'm understanding this correctly.
Yeah.
So, his behavior was known.
Yeah, was known.
And he was still allowed to come around.
Yes.
And you were warned.
Yes.
To protect yourself.
Right. The responsibility was on us. As 10 and 11 year olds, just make sure you have a buddy.
Because this was a very powerful individual who had influence.
So when Harvey Weinstein came out and everyone was like, oh God, these women, why didn't they speak up? Why didn't they do something?
It's very obvious why they didn't.
Right.
Yeah.
I am on a much lower level than that. And we were told, you don't want to rock the boat. That's the thing. You don't want to rock the boat. And so the older girls would tell us, and it wasn't like, oh God, he's coming, you know. It wasn't done in a scary way. It was just a, hey, so-and-so's coming. Just make sure you got a buddy with you sometimes when he's here, okay? And that was it. And then once he came around, you're like, as a little girl, you were like, oh, they're right. We should make sure, you know.
Turns out he is a creeper extraordinaire.
Poor Derwin. Derwin looks...
And let me ask you this right again. Now. Not naming names.
Right.
All these years later. Is this person still in the dance world?
Yes.
Still successful?
Yes.
Probably still doing the same shit?
Yes.
And so probably babies that you taught are now giving that speech to young dancers.
Of course.
Jesus.
Yeah. But that's why I said when everything came out with Harvey, I looked at, and Anthony was like so shocked. I just went, yeah, same shit, different day.
What I found the most shocking about the whole Harvey Weinstein situation is that it actually happened, and that people came out and people believe the people,
right.
Yes.
And that there are repercussions because of it. That I think is what's shocking.
I'm hoping that there are more than him just losing his career, though. I want him to go to jail.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely. I mean, he's already. I mean, you know, his wife divorced him.
Right.
He's already lost everything with the Weinstein Company, and I mean, he has no career anymore.
Yeah.
And I mean, but just think about it. You know, you think, and this is actually one that you know, I turned a blind eye on. But you know, you're kind of like with, you know, the one person coming forward and seeing how that they're treated. So that's why a lot of powerful people get away with
it.
Because
test, yeah.
And it's kind of like I've always just kind of not paid attention to Tippi Hedren when it comes to Hitchcock.
Right.
And it's like, should I be doing that, or is it overblown, or is it more widespread, or what did that actually happen? Was the only instance, and that still doesn't make it right.
Right.
Because Hitchcock is like my absolute favorite director of all time, and you know, I don't know. I just don't.
And the other point that I kind of wanted to make with this is there a point for redemption for some of these people? Can you come back from some of this? Can you bounce back from some of this stuff? And should you be able to? Because I don't think all the guys who have been wrapped up in the Me Too movement, or even some of the I think there are gray areas in this.
There can be, yeah.
Right. I think
Harvey is not one of them.
No. Yeah. I think there is nuance. I was listening to something or a podcast, and a woman was talking about this, and she's like, I don't think Aziz Ansari should be listed with Harvey Weinstein. I don't think they're the same. And I don't either. I think it's almost looking at someone who uses heroin compared to someone who smokes pot. There is a difference.
Yeah, I think once you first off, I think once you throw assault in the description of
right.
when there's assault in the description, it's like, I don't think you can come back. I don't think you should be able to come back.
Okay.
But yeah, then there's ones that were, you know, and I think depending on who it is, I mean, I'm not saying Louis C.K., but using him as an example, because his seemed more like he was more naive about his position or his
right.
his stance is that.
Right.
So I'm not saying he
right.
should be able to come
I,
back, but
I agree. There was malice in it,
and
it
he didn't
make it okay.
And then he yeah. didn't realize his position of power where he's like, I just wanted to jerk off in front of someone, not realizing that they thought, oh my God, I have to stay here and deal with this if
right.
I ever want to work in this. And where he may not have ever felt that was his intent.
That's why I always make it a point to masturbate in front of people who are more successful than me.
No, I agree. That's always important.
I cannot tell you the number of times a woman, and I'm going to speak for all women at this point, have thought to themselves in front of a guy, I just have to put up with this shit, don't I? I cannot tell
Jesus
you.
Christ.
I cannot tell you the number.
Do you know what that? Now I'm thinking about myself. It's just all anything that. Oh my God! I'm sure there's so many things where girls just like, oh, when's this gonna be over? Oh,
well, and then especially when you think about it, where there's things that were socially acceptable to say to someone,
right?
Where it shouldn't have been, but you know, and also like you know, it affects people, and you know, it's like in the end, it's like. Oh, it was socially acceptable for me to just give someone a good smack on the ass, you know?
Right. You know,
whereas,
in the 60s, if a guy slaps a flight attendant on the ass.
And,
no, she still thought to herself, oh, I just got to put up with
yeah,
this shit.
Exactly. But it's like, you know, or saying something
paycheck.
Where, you know.
More than I need my dignity.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk about bouncing back. Mel Gibson.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
It's a tough one because he had to go away for a while. We had to say, Mel Gibson, I'm sorry, you have to go
you
away.
You don't get to play.
But now, like, he was just nominated, what was it, last
Hacksaw
year?
Hacksaw Ridge.
He was nominated for an Academy Award again. And
he ain't back in my book.
It's,
you know.
It's one of those, and that's the thing. It's like, for him, for me, it's like, and it's, you know, not necessarily clear, but. You know, thinking back to his old movies on screen, you know, thinking about, like, I can go back and watch, like, the Lethal Weapon movies, the Mad Max movies. And
before he was crazy.
In theory. I mean, especially Lethal Weapon, because you have pre-publicly crazy Mel Gibson and Gary Busey.
Right.
Which is kind of awesome,
well,
thinking
yeah,
how that turned
Gary
out.
Gary Busey's kind of fun crazy.
Yeah, he's a fun crazy, but then it's like.
Gary Busey doesn't hurt anyone crazy.
I'll remind you all that Roseanne used to be fun crazy.
Yeah.
And
we'll get to her in a minute.
Yeah, and then, but you know, it's like one of those things, it's like, I did see Hacksaw Ridge, mainly because it was nominated for a bunch of Oscars, but it's one of those things, even if I wanted to see Daddy's Home 2, which I didn't even see the first one, I had no desire to see the movie, just all of a sudden when I saw that he was in it, I'm like, I can't watch him in this movie.
Yeah,
because I think because it seemed like he's just playing a character that it's like, no, that's him. I just can't see him in that character.
So he's not bouncing back for you, Durwood.
No, I just don't see a reason or need to support him in anything that he does. I think that there are times where Hollywood is way more forgiving to
mm-hmm.
some people than I am ever willing to be.
Yeah. Another one I had on who did bounce actually I actually forgot about this was Eddie Murphy's arrest with the
what was he arrested for exactly?
Solicitation.
So I mean that's
okay.
But
that's
it was
another gray area.
But I think it was more of the embarrassment to him that it was a transvestite.
Right. Okay. But here's the thing.
Not that transvestites are embarrassing.
No.
Well,
and
to him it
was.
Yeah,
to him it was.
Right. But here's the thing. Did he? Was he accused of doing anything non-consensual?
No.
He accused of... Yeah. And so it was just a
I think it's one of those... I think if the person that was being solicited was doing it against their will,
right.
that would make it kind of bad. But I think, okay, yeah, in the eyes of the law, it's not happy. But in the end, it's like, all right, grown-ass adults.
I'll tell you the one that bothers me the most. That has had a bounce back because now we think, oh, he's just cute, or people treat him that way. Is Mike Tyson?
Because
he just did a show on Broadway.
Okay, I have an opinion on this one.
Go
well, and I have a connection to that.
Yeah,
I went to high school with the girl that he went to jail for sexually assaulting. Here's my deal. Is it okay if someone commits a crime, a heinous crime, serves their time, pays their debt to society, comes back from that, never does anything along those lines again, are they okay or are they stained for life?
The crime depends on the crime and his. I just can't.
I think it's at that point, I think it definitely gets to the personal aspect, to each their own.
Yeah. You
know? I don't know, because you think of, I mean, in a different situation, like very different, but someone that got busted, did their timing, tried to come back, was Michael Vick.
Yes.
And there's some people that are just like, no, can't do it.
Yeah. What?
And I know, and I was going to bring him up as an example also. When it comes to Mike Tyson, I think there's a couple things at play here. I want to go back to what Anthony was saying in the very beginning about Mike Tyson's crime was against a woman.
Yeah.
I think that has a lot to do with it. Mike Tyson did go to jail. Mike Tyson did serve his time, and he came out. Okay. Also, Mike Tyson's crime was, while he was convicted, Mike Tyson's crime was also... it was disputed what he actually did. He was convicted by a court of law, but the court of public opinion, what actually happened was a very split opinion. I think that has a lot to do mm-hmm. with how he is seen now also. Then you have somebody like Michael Vick, who by all accounts did what he was accused of and went to jail for, came back for it. I don't think that's something he will ever be able to quite recover from. And I think it is very interesting to see the way our society will see somebody who does something reprehensible to a woman compared to what how they see somebody who does something reprehensible to dogs.
Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. Which is, again,
no shot.
We got to put up with this. Something else I just got to put up with. Mm-hmm. Also, too, and the biggest comeback for me is someone who fell, but I think we don't really hold it against him too much because it was towards himself, was Robert Downey Jr. I think Robert Downey Jr. is probably, like, the poster child for falling to the bottom and then bringing themselves back up.
Well, he beat addiction.
Yeah.
Not a dog.
Yeah, but he spent time in jail, like... But I think people don't hold it against him too much because it was self-inflicted.
Yeah, it was all on him. He didn't do anything.
And that's
that...
a success story. Like, that's
no,
not...
absolutely, yeah. And I think I think we saw Charlie Sheen is in the same way
right.
also, you know? And if you're not hurting anybody else, I don't think we care that much. We care about the salaciousness
right.
of the story, and we love the gossip and all that kind of thing. But if you're not hurting anybody else... You may take a couple steps backwards, but I really don't think that's a big fall from grace.
Okay.
Remember,
it was because he was out of the people wouldn't hire him for quite a while. People
Thank
would
you,
not
Allie
work
McNeil.
With him. In fact, for Iron Man, when I was doing my research, it was rough getting the studio
also,
to agree.
Well, I remember when he came on, and you know, we're like, well, there's a big storyline from the 70s where. Tony Stark becomes an alcoholic.
Yeah.
All right. Perfect casting.
Now we just find a studio that will insure me.
Right. Now, I will tell you, because I don't want to seem like this is just man bashing this whole time. So
it mostly should be, though.
Sure.
Yeah.
So in my research.
We deserve our fair share of the bashing.
In my research, I was like, I got to find some women who do some shit. Like, I was like, I got to try to find some.
I've got one.
We'll do yours last. It was so funny when I put in. For the women, it was like most of this just seems so minor now. Like, who gives a damn? Like, the craziness of Britney Spears, Lindsay Lohan, and to a larger extent, Whitney Houston. Like, but now it almost like.
Well, I think of the three, Lohan was probably the most onto someone else because there was issues of her driving drunk.
Right.
Yeah.
Where Whitney, I know there was a lot of how her public perception, but, you know, that wasn't all because of her.
Sure.
Like,
well, I tried to find something where it was like they affected other people, and that's hard. Because
yeah.
The other thing I had was like Winona Ryder for shoplifting. over $5,000 worth of merchandise she stole.
But she's come back.
She's come back. Martha Stewart went to jail for insider trading. Again,
though, I think in the case of Winona Ryder and also in Britney, mental illness is a thing, I think, in
Agreed.
Both of those cases.
All right. And the one that makes Anthony's blood boil as well as Durwood's is the fact that Janet Jackson pretty much lost her career on Super Bowl Sunday.
First of all, no, she did not. I have opinions about that some people may not like, but that may be for another
but
time.
But here's the thing. She got it a hell of a lot worse than Justin Timberlake
did
that day.
And she, look, Justin Timberlake actively removed the clothing from her breast.
Right.
She stood there and was just revealed. And the headlines the next day were, oh my Lord, look at what Janet Jackson did. Janet Jackson stood there. Justin Timberlake, white boy, pulled the pasty off of her. And what do we think of Justin Timberlake? One of the best SNL hosts in a long time. What do we think of Janet Jackson? She showed her breasts at the Super Bowl.
Yep.
It's a bunch of bullshit.
It is, but for me, I have a very different opinion.
Okay.
I don't care that the world saw Janet Jackson's titty. Whatever.
Yeah.
I am of the opinion, and again, this only reflects me and does not reflect that of the management, its owners, or anyone else sitting at this table. That, as far as I was concerned, was a gigantic and intentional publicity stunt used to take the attention off of the fact that Michael Jackson had been accused of molesting another kid.
It all comes back full circle.
It happened about a month and a half after that allegation surfaced, and once it did, nobody was talking about it anymore. Justin Timberlake took off the piece of that costume that had snaps on it.
So,
he did not rip anything off of her. He removed it, and she stood there. And if it was unplanned, why did she have absolutely no reaction to it for 4 solid seconds until she just happened to glance down and then make a half-hearted attempt to cover her titty? That was 100% intentional. Janet Jackson was in no way a victim. That was orchestrated and intentional. And
so you think she took one for the team?
Yep.
I am agreeing with every single word that you're saying.
However.
But I also agree that Justin Timberlake was
100% involved with it as
yes.
well.
Oh, yeah, no, totally.
Unless you're telling me that what we didn't see was Janet holding a gun to his back and handing him a note that says, motherfucker, pull this off of me or I pull the trigger.
I hope someday we will get the truth, because I guarantee you it was not a wardrobe malfunction.
No, it was not.
It was not an accident. It was premeditated. And you may have noticed Justin Timberlake has said absolutely nothing.
Oh yeah, he's never
years about it. Also, not an accident.
Yes, and I just want to say the only thing I'm saying is Janet didn't act alone.
Right.
No, not at all. Not at
all. No, but she took the brunt of it.
And no, she gets all the blame, and I think she 100% knew that was going to happen going in, and I think, again, like you said, I think
she took one for the team.
I hear you. Now, I find that interesting though, because when you're mentioning all the women and everything that they've done, the difference that we see between what the women have done and what the men have done is power.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
The men they're wielding this power.
Yeah.
And the women don't have that. However, with the Janet situation, this is what I find so astounding about it. We talk about it as if she had that kind of power. Did she? Could she have?
Well, here's the thing about Janet, and also I very much disagree with the notion that it cost her career. She is still selling out stadiums. She is still considered a pop culture icon.
Yeah.
She is still Janet Jackson.
Yes.
I mean, granted, in my opinion, she hasn't made a good album in 20 years, but she still has fans.
That holds up.
People, you know, she is still Janet Jackson.
But
she never stopped being
Janet
Jackson.
It'll always be associated with her.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the price you pay for the stunt you pull.
All right. But real quick, Roseanne was my other.
Well, because that was, you know, to move away from the sexual.
Because Roseanne now has her new show
because
is now
Roseanne
out.
Roseanne
her old show.
Well, yes.
Her old show is back. And, you know, Roseanne, the original series, was a comedy bible for me.
I love
it. I mean, it was one of the greatest sitcoms of all time. Roseanne herself was a great inspiration to me. I loved her stand-up act. You know, and she was fun and crazy years ago, but now, as we have discovered in the years since, she is absolutely 100% batshit fucking crazy as an outhouse rat.
Yeah.
And is not shy about it. In our age of social media, she just kind of goes on a tirade about every little thing that her senile mind comes up with. Remind you of anybody? But, so, the fact that her show is back and so many people are pissed about that, and the show has done well. I've watched the show. I watched the first two episodes, and, you know, I have opinions on it, notwithstanding. But it's one of those things where, again, how do you separate the fact that you've got this complete garbage human who is a part of this thing that is good?
Luckily for me, I had such horrible feelings left from the way that the original ended that I have not had a desire to watch the new one.
You're still hanging on to that bitterness?
Yeah, I guess. But I mean, I just, the way that show, I guess I faded away from that show with the way it ended and how horrible it got by the end. I feel like it faded away from me. And now it's trying to come back to me and I'm just like, I've moved on.
Well, I have not watched it yet. I think I'm going to.
It's not bad. It has been bad points.
I was gonna watch it, and then I was gonna not watch it. And now I'm up in the air because stuff started circulating of pictures of, and I had obviously forgotten about this or didn't pay attention to it like almost 10 years ago. But pictures started circulating of Roseanne dressed up as Hitler.
Yeah,
and I was like thinking this was a recent thing. And then reading it, it's like, well, it did happen, but it was part of a satirical Jewish journal, and like they were doing a Germany episode, and it was basically her as Hitler, and then like before he became Hitler, sort of, and it's like one of those things, like, and it apparently caused a huge uproar when it happened,
yeah.
rightfully so, anyone that dresses up as Hitler kind of should get it,
yeah,
but it wasn't like all of a sudden like. Her doing it now and just like, I'm doing a photo shoot as Hitler. Like, there was, like, reasons behind it. So I'm like, I still don't know.
And we saw how well that went for Kathy Griffin.
Right?
Yeah.
Her career is still.
Make a political statement with, you know, a photo.
Although she's still, like, she took a little bit of a hit, but I still follow her on, like, Facebook and stuff. And she's still selling out shows. And sometimes because, and then there's sometimes.
Sometimes it's because
especially,
of it.
Especially when you get political.
Yeah.
If you go, I mean, it takes, I think, a lot to really alienate everyone. Because odds are there's a chance.
It's a skill.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, there are people that do it. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, with Kathy Griffin, it's like, where she would, if she had anyone that was on the more conservative side, and then she probably lost quite a few people that were more moderate.
Yeah.
But far left people are like, fuck yeah, I'm not going to go see your show twice in one night, you know?
Like I said, doing the research, I did find it interesting that I had to really hunt down women. Like, I was like, give me some female scandals. Well,
and most of what they did was against
themselves.
Was petty stuff or, like, you know, theft. It wasn't, like, against another human being.
Well, and to walk
or
back to
multiple
what Derwood
people.
Said,
well, yeah.
Back to what Derwood said is that it's an issue of power.
I would love to hear a story about a woman who gets a man blacklisted from Hollywood because he won't go down on her. Please let that happen.
Well, and the thing is, I mean, and the fact
come on,
that
Shonda come through.
Well, when you think about this whole thing, how Terry Crews came out and said how this one agent just came up at a thing and just. Full on grab his junk, and the guy was suspended for a little bit, but he's back, and it's like, what the fuck?
Well,
you know,
and
it's like,
I love how people, you know, got on to Terry Crews for not assaulting the guy.
Oh, right.
But it's like, first of all, you know, or as he said so himself on Twitter, there's a lot of things that a white person could do and not go to jail for.
Yep.
You know, and that's the other thing, and I hate that victim blaming bullshit.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, I mean, there are still people out there that actually think that Anthony Rapp is at fault at age 14 for not kicking Kevin Spacey's ass.
Yeah,
what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, because even at the time, he was still a famous act. That's what I'm saying. There's always that moment where you just have to think to yourself, this is just something I have to deal with.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Well, and
poor Durwood. Yeah. Durwood's not going to be right after we're done with this.
No, here's the thing. This whole movement, and I think what has been the most educational for me, and you just brought up one more thing that I have never had to think about in my life, at least not in the way that you put it.
Right.
Or you mentioned it's just one more thing that I have to put up with, right? Right. All right, I'm a black man. I've had issues like that.
Of course.
I think, though, that when it comes to what we're talking about now, when it comes to the issues of men and women and how they relate to each other, I think you women probably deal with that far more than I think a black man does. It's more common for you because right. it's society. It's the way you're allowed to be treated. It's
yes.
the way that a lot of people think you're supposed to be treated. And it's just you saying it's another thing we have to put up with, that kind of resignation.
Right.
I find it's appalling, it's reprehensible, and it's not anything that I've ever had to deal with on that level. And I'm glad that things like this are happening and the speaking out is finally coming to the surface so that we finally realize that it's the change that needs to happen.
Yes. Yeah. Because like I said, there's always a moment where something happens where you just... And sometimes, especially with these kind of situations, I am sure a lot of times these women looked at the situation and went, this is just, it's not worth the fight right now. It's just
yeah.
not worth
yeah.
the fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not worth my career. I will just put up with this. Especially like with something minor with like Louis C.K.
Yeah.
I'm sure the women were like, I can deal with this for 5 minutes. If it means yeah. that I'm going to get to work for Durwood.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch a dude jerk off for 5 minutes.
First of all, don't hate.
Secondly, now what if it was like all of a sudden you're like, oh look, I can get on Roseanne's show.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, I'm gonna go meet, and all of a sudden she lifts up her skirt and just goes to town on herself mm-hmm. for 5 minutes. Would you sit through that?
Okay. No bullshit. I don't have the perspective to be able to answer that question. Truth, because
right.
the first thing that ran through my head was, what a fucking story to tell.
Jesus.
And also, again, a woman doing that, oh my God. All right, first of all, I kind of find it hot a little bit. That's a totally different perspective.
Of course.
Than
yeah.
a woman would have in that situation
yep.
from a man. And I can't put myself, I can't begin to understand what it's like to be in that position. I don't have any concept of what that's like. I can't answer that question. I really can't.
Well, and if you were in that position, I guarantee you the first question people would ask you would not be, what were you wearing?
Exactly. Exactly.
Or why didn't you say something?
Yeah, Durwood.
Yeah.
Or how about this? As you know, if you went into like and to meet Louis C.K. and he just whipped out and started jerking, and what would you do? Because I have no idea what the fuck I would do. I'd be like,
pull up a seat next to him.
Because you know what it could do for your career,
right?
Shit. Like you're thinking you're going into this
right
as you're gonna get a writing gig on one of his many shows that he produces.
And I will guarantee you most of the women probably thought the price of admission.
Yep.
And yeah, I don't think I could have been that cavalier about it. Don't get me wrong, I'm not going to sit here and say, I would not have let that happen, and I would have gave him what for. No, I can't say that.
Right.
But
you never
I definitely,
know how you're going to react in that situation.
Right.
Yeah.
But
I have no idea how I would react. I'm pretty sure
I would not have been cavalier enough to think price of admission. I've never been forced. I haven't been forced to think that about
right.
anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. Oh, I'm depressed.
Right.
Seriously.
Don't we have anything funny to talk about?
Well, another thing.
Our top 10 sexual assaults. Let's go. No.
Anything funny? Well, we did Pee Wee Herman. He's pretty funny. You know, masturbating in a theater. That's fun.
How funny is masturbating in a podcasting studio?
Don't do it. See? Right there. Something else I just gotta put up with.
You wouldn't put up with that. You would kick me square in the
chest. I would so be like, Durwood, Get the fuck out. It's different because I know you. Because
I have no power over you.
You have no power over me. Exactly. I'd probably laugh. I really, truly would be like.
You would point and laugh.
I would point and laugh.
She would mock you.
No, I probably would. But it's, like I said, when I started putting like women in like sexual misconduct, I swear to God, the first one came up was Pamela Anderson, Tommy Lee sex tape. And I was like, oh my God, that seems like so cute now. Like,
yeah, right.
What's the misconduct?
Yeah, I know. Or Kim Kardashian's sex tape came up. And again, it seems like
consensual.
It was consensual. Yeah. And
well,
in the end,
the sex was consensual. The sharing of the video was not.
Okay, the sharing of it was not. The videotaping seemed to be because she was performing.
Yeah.
No, I'm not victim blaming.
No. But yeah.
But there's nothing wrong about.
No, and there's no shame. No.
When there's that, that's not shaming. That's like she was performing and having fun on tape because that for their own personal. But
because Lord knows nobody was going to pay her to act. So.
But you know, in the end, it's like those tapes that were done. Most likely for private usage.
Yes.
Or I ain't kink shaming anyone. If you want to, you know, have a close group of friends watch you get it on with someone.
I'm not watching
called,
you, Durwood.
That's just called being gay, Joe. Yeah.
I'm not watching you, Durwood.
Don't knock it until you tried it.
But yeah, like I said, the research, it was rough. It was very rough.
There have been many times in the last couple of months where we're watching
and,
TV
and
something's
don't
come out.
Think the irony of us having the woman do all
that I did all
and go through all that is not lost here.
There have been many times in this process where she just turned on the couch, looked at me, and went, "You really are the last good man left on earth."
Yeah. We're gonna give Amy a big group hug.
It's just
this.
Yeah.
No. Read the room, dude.
Unless she wants to.
Yes. Consensual hugging.
Yes.
I'm gonna shake her hand.
Yeah.
Firmly.
But again, there were several points where I would just look at Anthony and go, men suck.
And I'd be like, the good ones do.
All
right. Consensually.
That's it. That's all I got. There are lots of, we didn't mention Mount Lauer,
I was gonna say, we
Al
almost
Franken.
Didn't even go into the whole
more,
rock genre.
Oh,
more than enough.
Oh, God. There's, yeah, there's
just
more.
Just think groupies and.
More than enough.
Yeah.
I need a shower now by myself.
Anyway.
What about Lemon Jello came in?
Oh, yeah.
I promise we'll go back to being lighthearted and funny next week.
You know, we had some funny moments today, thank God.
If you liked what you heard here, you can get a dose of our funny every day on Twitter. You can follow us at Pop Culture House. You can follow me, Anthony Donovan, at Daboy, D-A-B-O-Y.
I'm at Reggie Swing.
Crazed Dr. Scott.
I have a Twitter, but I don't remember the name.
Aren't you the
one? Or you could email us.
At thehouseofpopculture@gmail.com.
Ooh, yeah.
And if you really liked what you heard here, please consider going to our Patreon page at the House of Pop Culture and become a patron. For a donation as little as a dollar, you can unlock access to behind-the-scenes stuff, videos, all kinds of extras, Amy and Durwood arguing about nothing for 10 minutes.
Oh, we're going to be getting on that soon.
All kinds of cool stuff.
And that's the abridged version.
We want to thank everybody at the Hillcrest Community Building and sound engineer Joey. We love you.
Yay!
And keep your hands to yourself.
Hands to yourself.
Hands above the table and don't be a dick.
Yeah.